The 80s, maybe 1984. First time I ever saw Sister Hernandez play the saxophone, spin like a top on the platform while she was playing, I thought, wow, look at that. I can feel the anointing through her playing of an instrument. Nobody was singing, she was playing. I think it was the first time that I ever realized that I felt a true anointing coming off somebody that was either striking, playing, blowing through, and feel a transmission of ministry coming out and touching our spirit. Now, when Sister Johnstone strikes the keys on that keyboard, I feel an anointing. I was looking back there today as Brother Johnstone was striking the skins of those drums and thinking, that dude is anointed on those things. I feel the anointing. Now, Brother Heiner, I'm still kind of waiting on you. I don't know if I can't quite hear the organ or the bass drum enough. I'm not sure, but I'm feeling. I'm waiting. I'm just kidding. Praise God. That's a beautiful thing. Would you like to be dismissed? Okay, that's okay. Anybody else need to be dismissed? Kids, are we on already? Okay. Sorry, I got a clean house here, though. Could we wait on the Lord together here in prayer for another minute or so? Maybe just some words of exaltation. He's worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Unto you who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. By the effectual working of your Spirit, Lord. By the effectual working of your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I stand here today not to reason with you or to grasp your or somehow affect your understanding, but to speak that which is of faith. Faith transcends the intellect. Sometimes it involves knowledge, but it definitely transcends the realm of reason or intellect. And I believe moves into things that are supernatural. That just means above the natural element. Sometimes we will refer to things as an act of nature. Other times we may refer to things as an act of God. I deeply appreciate when God does things in a way that causes me to quickly realize, wow, now that was an act of God. In James chapter 5, about verse 14. Brother Toms, we will be calling upon you at the end of this session to come and pray and anoint with oil anybody who needs, anybody requesting, okay? Just you. James chapter 5 at verse 14. Let's go back a verse. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I would ask you, how much? We're continuing to read. Next verse. We are in the same conversation. And the writer here is about to give us the evidence, the proof of what he just said. And he says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was human. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not in Syria, in Israel, all right, the Middle East. Well, maybe on that continent. Are you kidding me? Could it really say, and it rained not on the earth? What about the rainforest? Must have gotten dry. We either stand firm on this word as the ever forever settled word of God or not. A man. Anybody here want to admit that you have idiosyncrasies? Not that you're an idiot. Idiosyncrasies. Anybody want to admit? I got things about me. I look at them and think, it's probably different, you know, than others. And what I'm saying is you're ready to admit that you're human. You have error and failure in your life, or you have oddities about you. So what is the perfect man? Well, I guess the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? My point being, he just told us that this man, Elias, was no different than us. No different than you, Randy. Elijah. Elias. He was no different than you. Except that you have a New Testament experience. You have infilling of the Holy Ghost. There was a flow of God that operated through this man. But you are a New Testament believer and you have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. God manifest in, taking up resident, the indwelling fountain, the flowing river, whatever you want to call it. God's spirit manifested inside and he gives to us word. Expression, spiritual expression, not reciting, not repeating, spiritual expression that comes from an indwelling inspiration. So there's a little difference. But in dumbing down the situation, because we put these Old Testament prophets up on some really high pedestal and pinnacle, he's saying, no. I'm going to tell you about a man. He's just following up these statements. If there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray, anointing with oil, praying in the name of the Lord, and the sick shall be healed. The sinners shall be forgiven. Or the have sinned shall be forgiven. And now he wants us to know about a human being who's no different than us, who did pray earnestly. Now, in order for us to be in the same category, we'd have to understand or experience earnest prayer. And this man prayed that it would not rain, and it didn't rain upon the earth. It's either true or it's a fairy tale. If you want to believe that that was just a fairy tale, then where do you draw the line in Scripture? Then why would we even be here? Is it some kind of, No, it's not. I won't belittle that any more than what I have already. It rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, we like to hear that. I think we would really love to fully believe it to the sense that it impacts my praying, that it impacts your praying, that it would bring me a place of willingness to pray until. Towards whatever matter. Whatever situation that I feel drawn to by the Spirit of God. I'm not just talking about a worry or a concern. I'm talking about the things in life that we are drawn by the Spirit of God in prayer to address, knowing and having the faith that as I pray, I will pray until it will happen. It will happen. The rain will stop. The rain will stop. It's going to stop. I don't know. Have you ever entered into a prayer season that didn't seem to let up? Almost like you were given the option. If you want to keep going, I'll empower you. And we'll keep going and we'll go and we'll go and we'll go. Or if you'd like, would you like to stop? Come back to this. You ever been in a prayer session with God, feeling those feelings that I could go and keep going? There's utterance. There's empowerment. Or I've been given the option to back up and just wait a little while. And you made a choice. You stayed in it, or you, for whatever reason, and I'm not saying good, bad, or just felt a release from God to back up, but at the same time knowing you could have continued. And so you know the possibility. All those things that pull on us to pull us away from that, back us away from that, or somehow project the idea of unbelief in our own minds that I'm just one person. You know, this is why we go on Facebook and try to get 1,000 people praying for one, you know, for you to get groceries next week or something. Somehow in our mind, it takes a multitude, and the more, the better, the more, the merrier. And if we could just get enough people engaged or involved in this particular need, then somehow God would hear it, like it takes volume or numbers. Right? Why didn't he say? You know, there was a whole bunch of people in the church. And they were praying about the rain. I've been in some services in the Yakima Valley where they were doing that. They were praying for snow. In the mountains to fill the reservoirs, to grow the fruit. Help us pray. Help us pray. Send letters out to all the churches. How is it? Why is it somehow that we feel inadequate before God when he has over and over and over again communicated this one thought? if I could find one man, if I could find one woman to believe to the place of praying. Okay, we get the point? Acts chapter 12, verse 1. This is one of those days I've been waiting for. Now about that time, Herod the king, the supreme ruler in the land, stretched forth his hands to vex certain individuals in the church, of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Picture this. We just got word. Brother Wright was killed. He was beheaded. And Brother Schoonover was arrested and is in jail in Puyallup. Brother Johnstone calls for a prayer meeting. Says, gather all the believers. And tells us, look, picture. Brother Wright was just killed. And now the authorities have come after Bishop. And he has now been arrested, and he is in jail. Now, I don't know, maybe that might feel, make you feel pretty good. I don't know. Great, change is coming. Or, at the hearing of the news, you would realize this is, we have come into a desperate situation, which seemingly is out of our control, and these authorities and powers are exercising persecutions against our church. If you could use that term. And so we gather in prayer. How do you think that prayer meeting would go? Well, I would hope. You know, oh, dinner's almost done and I've got to send word to the bishop. We'll come back next Wednesday. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to 4 quarturions of soldiers to keep him, intending that after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Sorry, I didn't do the quick study to see how many days this would be that he was there. Next verse. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing to the church, or of the church, unto God for him. Whatever this season of time is, however many days are involved here, the believers have come together and begin to pray. I was in a meeting where Brother Sisko was speaking, and apparently he began to have a stroke. All at once we realized his sentences were getting turned around and garbled, and he was looking at us like, what's going on? What's happening here? And somebody said, call 911. They asked for everybody that was in the room at the time to go out into the foyer. The foyer was a large foyer. Not as large as the room that we were in, but it was a good area. I had stuck around, and I was there with some of the others in observing what was taking place. And so there was a group that had already gone out, and I don't know whether he had said go to the foyer or just leave the sanctuary, but somebody went into that foyer, began to pray, and then the whole group began to pray. And we made our way down the hallway. As I stepped through the threshold of the door into the next room, the foyer, there was a tangible thick cloud. I mean, it was so tangible. You felt it on your entire body entering into the room. I'm not talking about the volume of prayer or the kind of prayer. I'm talking about the manifestation of God that had filled the room because of the prayer. That seemed to be an unending prayer meeting. As the ambulance came, took him away, and things progressed. Now, it wasn't the first time that I'd ever felt that, but it may be the strongest that I had ever felt that. What is it? That you could physically feel something. Sometimes when we think about prayer and consider prayer, we think about the words, and sometimes we do. We think about the words. And we believe that we're doing right, and we're willing to participate at least for a certain amount of time. But in that room that day, there was a physical manifestation. I wondered at times that what the high priest felt when the Shekinah glory would come in over the wings of the cherubims, over the mercy, or between the wings, over the mercy seat, and the Shekinah glory of God would fill the Holy of Holies. I've wondered at times that what I felt that day that was so tangible was similar to what maybe the high priest would feel in that Old Testament scenario, but a manifestation of the presence and power of God. Now, it's not the feeling that draws my attention. It was the obvious persistence to pray, 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 unrelenting praying, waiting, praying, praying until what? I don't know. But when it comes, I'll know. Are there any in the room today? You've dwelt there. You've been there. And you approached a place of uncertainty. Do I continue? Do I continue? Or maybe you have been to the place and continued, and you continued until a release, knowing something was happening. The meeting of these believers, which I truly believe they were ushered into a dimension of praying. Of course, it was a desperate situation. James had been killed. Peter had been arrested. Peter was now in prison. These men were focal points of their fellowship. Now they were somewhere under the direction of elders, giving themselves to praying. Praying for Peter, praying unto God for Peter. These are New Testament believers. You know, of all of our understanding, we could probably pray in 5 minutes. You know. Now, some of you got real long vocabularies. Not this kid. And so, I could probably say in 10 sentences, with the things that I understand, all that I could know about a man behind bars in a prison with guards. But when I enter into a dimension of the Spirit, it might involve words of my understanding, yes. But I would dare say there was a place in the Spirit that these people were at. There was probably nobody standing at the head of the living room saying, okay, folks, let's all pray for Peter now, and let's pray this way, and orchestrated that for 1 day, 2 days, 3. But there was a praying going on. You understand what that's like, don't you? And unknowingly, as they were giving themselves to prayer, things were set in motion. The angel of God entered the prison, came to Peter, and began to bring him out. Brought him out of the prison. The supernatural being manifested as the gates opening of their own accord as they walked. Man, make a good movie. That's where we put supernatural TV screens. Hollywood. They opened of their own accord. Peter not even realizing, man, I thought this was a dream. Is it? This is really, this is happening. I'm out. Finds himself at the door of the house where there were those gathered that were praying. Raps on the gate. Tries to get their attention. Somebody finally comes to the door. And she can't believe her eyes. She goes back in to tell the senior leadership what's happening. And they don't believe her. They are so involved in praying for the unbelievable that they can't believe the believable or the reality. So, there was a man by the name of Elias who was subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain. I don't know what earnestly really involves. I don't know if it was how much he gave himself to it in a moment. I don't know if it was some lingering thing that took him through the night. I've been in both places. But whatever earnestly involved in this situation, a man prayed. It affected the natural world that we know as the earth. Now, I know we hear it. I know we receive it. And I know we raise our hands and say, I believe it for him and for the sake of the story and the sake of the Bible. But for my own personal experience, well, you know, so, I've been waiting on the Lord on how far to take this today. Let's wait together here. Let's pray for a minute. According to your word, your will, your purpose, your plan, in the name of Jesus. So when I share experiences of mine, I'm not telling you those things to tell you about me. I am expressing things to evoke something in you. That you could have faith for you. I don't know why it is that, you know, God chooses whatever among humanity, various people and places. I would say this openly and publicly. I think Bishop Wright has been chosen of God for a season and time in the earth to communicate some of the things that he communicates. Some of you would probably believe that. I think there's been others. I think maybe Brother Mark Morgan is chosen of God for a time and a voice to the body of Christ. Okay? And those are just a couple. That's just two names. I think there are many people in the body of Christ that he has chosen to participate in certain things in the earth on grand scale. Okay? All I'm trying to persuade you to believe is all he needs is one. And that one may be you. That one may be you. He may ask of you something he won't ask of anybody else. He doesn't need another. He has you. We do know that the scripture does at least say that where two or three gather together in his name, or where two would agree is touching any one thing. Now that's more than one, but it's definitely not five or 10. He doesn't need 200. One. But I would dare say his greatest work at times is persuading a one to accept that maybe they are that one. For that one situation, for that one thing that could affect a community, a city, a country, or maybe the earth. Now, Elijah, he could have done what I've heard others do. He may have said, now, folks, I'm sure that there's many people praying about this rain situation. You know, don't throw darts at me because I'm proposing that because I prayed, it stopped raining, even though the Word of God declared it. But that's kind of our default thing. We don't want to feel like we're lifting up ourselves or saying anything like that. But we know that's in direct contradiction to the Scripture. Better to sacrifice and be crucified and tell the truth. And believe the truth. Here's what I would wonder. Being Elias or Elijah, and having been through that experience, Scripture doesn't bear out, I don't believe. But what about the next situation that God brought to him? Okay, Elias, I would like you to either pray concerning this, address this. How do you think he would face another scenario, having already been through that scenario? Got it. Let's go. What about those believers that were assembled in that room that night when Peter came knocking at the door? You know, they lived on. They had children to share their experiences with. No, son, let me tell you right now, if you would just begin to pray and pray without ceasing, I'm telling you, do you understand the shift and the dimension and the faith in people who have come through an experience? So, I'm going to bare my soul. Good friend of mine, probably over 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago now, he called me over to his house. He had just returned from a trip in Mexico. His father was dying with cancer and said, son, can you and I go and make our one last trip? I want you to know the history of the family, and I want to take you and tell you So for 3 hours, he sat at a table and showed me pictures and told me the stories that his father had relayed to him. His father had left the Catholic Church in Mexico, entered into apostolic ministry of some kind, and begin to speak out about some of the things that he was aware of that were going on. Things that were showed to him. And as Joel sat there and told me these things, I'm doing my best. I'm his friend. I'm doing my best to not look at him like, that sounds stupid. How could that be possible? Because the things that he was telling me about seem... Why
doesn't anybody know about this? And what he was telling me was about the abuses taking place in the Catholic Church in Mexico. He was talking about the imprisonment, you know, all for the cause of God. We have to suffer for the Lord. Of people and of nuns, women, who were raped by priests, delivered their babies in these cathedrals, imprisonments, and they had found what his term was the cadavers of babies lined the foundations of these buildings. Now, I'm looking at him and thinking, I have never heard anything like this in my life. And I'm not sure if I believe you. I'm not saying that to him. He's my friend. And he feels compelled to share this to me. And so when he was finished, I went home. Tried to push as much of that out of my mind as I could. I didn't believe it. Or if I couldn't. I don't know where it was or how. I mean, I don't know how I came across these recordings. But it was after I had come to Puyallup. It was several years later, many years later. I'm here in Puyallup, and I come across these recordings, and I think it was a woman by the name of Sister Charlotte. She was traveling our churches, her and a friend, and she had been a nun, and she had escaped the very situations that Joel had told me about. I sat up in that office up there for 3 days, listening over and over to all the recordings that she had communicated, because she was telling me word by word the things that Joel Garcia had told me. And now I have two witnesses, and I'm thinking, how is this possible? Why doesn't anybody else know about this? How could this not be public? You mean there's things that go on in our world that are squelched from the public ear, the public eye? I sat up there, and as I listened, I could feel something burdening me, a growing burden, and a drawing of God's Spirit. And I at some point, I felt like God was going to draw me into a prayer meeting. And I was just waiting on that. Okay? And one night, I was here by myself. I felt the Lord draw me into a prayer meeting concerning it. I knew the principle that if God could give me His word on a thing, He could impact anything in the world with His word, which will not fail or return to Him, but will prosper. And so I prayed. It wasn't an all-night prayer meeting. I'm going to give you the default. I can't explain about any other situations going on around.
around the world or who was involved in what. All I know was my experience and what God was bringing me through. I prayed. I got it from that prayer when the release came, went on about my life. And just went on about life. I had left a business call in Linwood, Washington. I was driving down I-5 when the radio announcer came on and announced that the 176th person had just come forward. And the Lord took me back to that prayer meeting. Now, I'm just talking about us receiving an understanding from God that He wants to use us. And with faith, He will use us. He will lead you into situations and give you His word. And the world that we lived in can be impacted. That was the first time. There's been many times since. But that was the first time that that situation had happened, at least where I had a place of personal involvement. And I will tell you that the dimension of the next and the next and the next things that happened, I could quickly and readily participate in, knowing I've been here before. I know what this is. Too many times we look at our scenarios and our situations in life and think they've become unimpactable. We throw our hands up. What's the use? I've been trying. Now, I can't tell you, look, just do what I did, because I didn't even know what I did except be available and wait on Him. I've never heard anybody else talk about something like this. I'm not repeating something. Somebody's told me. I don't know. All I know, it's for me. But you are you. Sister Lindsay, you're the only you. Randy, you're the only Randy. Castellanos. I could go around this room. There are those of you that I have seen, Craig or Tolbert. Now, there's two of you because your dad was just like you. Yep, this is the last thing you want to do right now. Now, I'm talking to you about spiritual gifting. And somebody here needs to listen to this. I watched a gifting that operated in his mom and dad for a significant season of time that could be called on at any given moment and would begin to intercede and punch through the darkness. I'm telling you, I witnessed it many times. When little Krager started coming up, I began to see the same gifting manifesting in his life. Okay? Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. There's nobody else in the room. You're in your closet. There's a gift that operates on you in prayer. I want you, hold this microphone. And in your closet, there is nobody here. Nothing that you are about to lend yourself to has anything to do with your wife sitting back there, Brother John's still there. There's nobody else in the room. You're in your closet. You're with God. You got situations that you're concerned about in your life. You've been waiting on God about. I'm just going to ask you to begin to pray as the Spirit of God would lead you in prayer. You don't have to pray in English. Yield as God would lead and direct you. Let the gift be stirred up. Let it be stirred up. There's nobody else in the room. Come on, our faith's going to rise with you.
Silence in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you have no place here. You are silenced in Jesus' name. I have the authority in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name, I walk with you. I hear your voice, God, and I go. I hear your voice and I speak. I wait on you, God. I wait for you in Jesus' name. I pray with authority in Jesus' name that your words speak, God. In Jesus' name.
Several years ago, it came out that there was a woman discovered in a basement who had been imprisoned. It was many years. It was in a country in Europe somewhere. And I remember after reading all that had come out about that situation, that one night at home, I remember I began to talk with God about the fact that there must be others. That there must be others that are imprisoned somewhere in places that only you know. And so repeating the process of waiting and then praying. And I'm sure it was probably 8 months or a year later when in 1 week there was a handful of people in different places that it came out that they were discovered, found somehow. Ready? There's nobody else in the room. You don't have to include anybody, address anybody. You're in your closet, your prayer closet. This is you and God. You and God, your family, and those situations that surround you, and the things that are trying to attack your mind.
Ikataye kiararabasata tararabahat.
We're thankful to you, Jesus. We believe you, Father. We believe you, Father. We believe you, Father. We believe you, Father. Hallelujah. So just the facts. I haven't shared this with anybody for a lot of years, but for your sake, I'll say I'm sure it was just a coincidence. I was drawn to some videos that were produced by some doctors that had visited Korea. Of course, they snuck in their cameras in their briefcases. The videos were terrible. But you could see the fear on the people that lived in North Korea. And there was really nothing available for us to know except a few times people getting out, sharing, you know, if you talk to the people in, obviously in South Korea, some of them who had made it out of North Korea, they would speak with great similarities of all the things that North Korea denies, okay? And I hadn't heard anything communicated or written. I just saw that there was a few people that they had arranged for some escapes and the things that they had come through. What gripped me was the fear on people who obviously did not worship the, was he an emperor or what do you call him? Huh? The emperor. But they were forced out of fear of their life. That any time they were put on a spot, every building had a picture of the, what was that guy's name? Kim Jong-un. Thank you. And so there was something about that that stirred me, and I just was stirred. I was stirred, and I was just waiting on the Lord about that was all. I had a guest in my home. Brother Bruce Bartell had been staying with us. And one morning I got up, went down into the living room. He and I had not discussed this. And I began to pray there at the couch, and I yielded as I could or knew to, and knew I was praying, addressing that situation now. And just praying. Now, I'm sure this is just a coincidence. Well, Bruce heard me praying, and he came down into the living room, and he kneeled in a chair. And after we prayed, we got up and sat and had coffee, and he asked me about what was going on. And I just shared what I had observed and the burden that I had picked up and was simply praying and releasing towards that burden. What was interesting thing was the next morning we got up and he said, "Did you see the news?" I said, "No. Look at it right now. Kim Jong-un just had a heart attack on a train driving through the country." Wow, that's weird. So, listen to what I'm saying to you. We don't know the dimension or the place of impact or all that the hand of God is doing when he asks us to participate in something where he has revealed the burden. All right? I didn't pray about that leader. I didn't speak his name. But I knew that the burden was for those people. Okay? Now, as time passed and his son came on the scene, wow, everything looked really bad. And so I'm thinking, whoa, I hope I didn't have anything to do with that. This is how our mind reasons. I knew I had a place of participation, and I participated, and it happened that something transpired. Now, would you agree today that there is something going on in North Korea that has not, that has been a stalemate for many, many, many years? My point being, you can either accept the possibilities that God would use you according to the precedent of Scripture, that he could impact any situation in the world. I'm not talking about changing his will or his end-run purpose, but there are things that are impacting your life, your being, things around you that God has given us a place of faith in prayer. Obviously, you know it's easier to reflect back on something that happened now that things have transpired. It's a little easier to reflect back and say, wow, look at that. Yeah. Okay. Well, today I have a burden for the autistic. The numbers that have been revealed in our society over the last decade, and the things that are being pointed at, here's what I'm saying. I have a burden for the autistic and how they got there. I don't know all the details. Oh, I've heard testimonies, yes. But all I know is I have a willingness to wait on God in this situation. And so I am putting it out there ahead of time. I will pray and wait on God as he leads me. That's all I'm responsible to do. But I will say this. I have some things in the back, in the past. They give me a confidence that that word is true. The word of God is true. So, if there be any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Elias was one man and prayed that the rain would not rain. Brother Toms, come on.
You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You are the players on the field. You are the players on the field. You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. You're not waiting for anybody else. You are the ones.
If you need prayer in your body, I want you to come to the front as soon as you can. I also need somebody to come to stand in place for Brother Del Cool, who's not able to be here today. Also need someone to come and stand in place for Sister Karen Toms, who's sick in her body, not able to be here today. And Brother Toms is going to be praying, so need someone to stand in place. Is Sister Rodriguez still in the room? There she is. Her daughter Serena needs prayer. Please come on up to the front here. Make a straight line if you can across the front. If you're not here at the front, would you stand and enter into prayer? Whatever the Lord leads you in, enter into a season of prayer right now. Give yourself to prayer. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Many of you are aware of situations in your families, maybe situations that aren't in the room today. I feel faith right now. If you would simply yield yourself to the utterance of the Holy Ghost, you don't even have to mention names or situations, but if you'll just give way, the Spirit knows. Let Him use you as a vessel right now for His perfect will to be prayed through you concerning that situation. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Itaya ra 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 ba sha ta ya ra ra ba ha ya. Ilo ro ro bo ko ti ya ra ra ba shi ti ya na. Ilo ro ro bo ko si ti ya na ra ba ye. Ya lo ro ro mo so to ro ro ma ki ya ta ra ma ne ya la ba. Ilo ro ro bo ko se ti anara ramashi ando ro ro baki. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.